Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Thursday, August the 1st, 10 a.m. meeting. Yep, the beginning of August. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 44, the fourth paragraph, If a Mere Code of Morals. We're reading that one paragraph only and unpacking it. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Melanie C., the 12 Traditions, Dion R., and the readers of the text are Kathy Jo P. and Karen R. The share ID for Wednesday, July 31st, the 10 a.m. meeting, is 13,223. That's 13223. And for today's morning meeting, Thursday, August the 1st, the 7 a.m., Eastern Time meeting is 13,226. That's 13226. And our newcomer greeter is Nan K., and the announcements coordinator is Janice P.M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Melanie C. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Melanie.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Wilsonville, Oregon. The 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Pass.
And thank you, Melanie C. And I will now ask Dion R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Dion.
Hi, Mo. This is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater. Reading the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to precarious message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, our OA group are never endorsed, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, OA group are to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such are never be organized, but we may be, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Dion R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing and you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that is not the mute button on your phone, that's star 1, please. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 44 in the chapter We Agnostics, the fourth paragraph down, If a Mere Code of Morals. And we'll be unpacking that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to get us started. Good morning, Kathy Jo.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. You're doing great on August 1st. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. So what I'm realizing here is that, number one, I have a spiritual malady. I do not just have a physical allergy to food, and this is not about me just quitting the substances that I'm addicted to. It's working on that inner turmoil, that inner hunger, that inner emptiness that I have, that I've always had, that so that God can help set me right every single day. And I'm going to tell you that I have a theology degree, the study of God. And it got me nowhere other than flat on my rear. And I was in OA in the 80s, and I got a food plan. And I was pretty much abstinent from my alcoholic foods, but I was not working on that spiritual malady. And I did a few fourth and fifth steps, but I never went past that. I might have done a couple amends, but I never really did these steps entirely as they are outlined here. And my abstinence most days felt like I was white knuckling it and I was barely making it through. I could not wait for the next meal and I couldn't wait for abstinence or maintenance because I thought when I got to my goal, I'd get more food. And I also wrestled with that word sick. Like I just did not want to buy into that. Maybe everybody else was, but me sick? No, I'm fine. And today I embrace that malady and that sickness and the need of that power so that I can be altered and that I can change. And I'm no longer white knuckling my abstinence and trying to stay away from alcoholic foods or behaviors and volume. I'm more working on those spiritual needs that I have of altering me and fixing what's not right a day at a time so that I can have God continue to help me clean up the past and change and show up differently and be of service and be at peace with my fellow man and know now that I'm sick and I need that help every single day. My illness does not go away every single day. I need that connection with God and with all of you so that things can be altered and changed for me. And God is working miraculously in my life, and it continues to change. Relationships that I never dreamed would change continue. God is so good, and I am so grateful to be here and to call myself a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you, Kathy Jo, for getting us started. Just reminding everybody, we're on page 44, We Agnostics, the fourth paragraph, If a Mere Code of Morals, and I'll now take names.
Dana K.
Dana K.
Laura R.
Donna
Laura
B.
R. Donna B.
Stacy B.
Stacy B.
Dion R.
Dion R. One more. Now's your chance. If not, we'll wrap it up there. Okay, Dana K., Laura R., Donna B., Stacy B., and Dion R. Okay, Dana K. followed by Laura R. Dana, you're on. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your service today. A very warm welcome to everyone on the line, especially the newcomer and those coming back from relapse. Dana K. recovered in Missouri. So I want to speak on the sentence, we could wish. So if I could wish, if my wishes were an absolute truth and became for me a reliable reality, my compulsive overeating would have been conquered years ago. And even though I had reached the point of desperation and the desire to be free was very powerful within me, I was so tired of the obsession and the cycle of relapse and putting down the food and picking it up again. And my days, my hours, my time, my thoughts, my money, everything, my relationships were sacrificed to this food obsession, to the addiction. And when I utterly failed to be rid of the food obsession, I just did. I couldn't do it on my own. And as all of you on the line so eloquently say, it wasn't for, you know, it wasn't for a lack of trying or a lack of willpower or of self-knowledge, and, you know, as we've learned in the previous chapters. I just could not do it on my own. Bottom line, I could not stay stopped. And the curious thing for me was that I believed in a higher power. I had a relationship with a God of my understanding, and it wasn't enough. It wasn't working. and I'd pray and I'd cry and I'd abstain and, you know, all of the craziness in my own mind that went along with this. And why wasn't God lifting this? Why couldn't I be free? And so for me, there was something missing. And this paragraph we read today, that's what tells me what was missing. I did not have power within me to conquer the food. I just couldn't. And I think that I love Bill's story, and that he states in his story, it's on page 13, the key for me that was missing, this power I did not have. And at the bottom of page 13, Bill says that belief in the power of God, in other words, he does say on page 12, you know, why don't you choose your own conception of God? His friend told him that. But belief in the power of God plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements. That exactly right there was what I was missing. I wasn't plugged in to surrendering all of me to the God of my understanding. I didn't have enough willingness, I didn't have honesty, and I did not have humility. And that came through working the steps,
time,
admitting my powerlessness, and thank you so much, and getting connected into this power that was greater than me. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dana K. Laura R., followed by Donna B. Laura, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Laura R., recovered in Colorado. Oh, my goodness. I am so grateful to be amongst all of you guys, being vulnerable and honest and transparent. I listened to the earlier meeting, and I had tears in my eyes. Not only from this paragraph, what this paragraph shows me is that I'm human, and I don't like being human. I want to be perfect. And then what I heard on the line earlier today, and what I'm sure I'm going to hear today, you know, and already what I've heard from the previous speakers is that, you know, we wanted to be something different, and we couldn't be. And earlier today when I was listening, just the truth of people saying, you know, I failed utterly at life. And me too, you know, and honestly, that's what kept me coming back, you know. And what's so cool is that I feel like it's taken me, I just have been fighting to get to where I'm at today for 15 years, ever since God brought me into recovery. You know, I had sobriety from alcoholism, you know, from just, you know, drinking and drugging, but I could, you know, the devilments were still like in my life. You know, I was still having trouble with personal relationships. I couldn't control my emotional nature. I had the prey to misery and depression in recovery. Like, what the heck? You know, and it's because I was still leaning into so many other things, smoking or men or food, you know, instead of God. And I didn't know what I didn't know, and it took what it took to let go of all those things, and now finally food. And thank God, because the thing that really dropped me to my knees, I was in the food and having a child, and I was yelling at him all the time, you know, and you try to control a child, that's funny. You know, it's like I was living in Laura's world trying to control this kid, and he wasn't doing what I wanted him to do, and guess what? I would explode. And it would have me on my knees every day, and it would have me eating more food. And it was just awful. I could justify my husband and whatever, but I just couldn't handle, you know, doing it to a little kiddo. And thank God, I just knew in my gut, if I could, you know, if God could help me get that food away, I could change. Like, things could change. But I had to trust and rely on God. And I don't know. I don't even know if I surrendered or God surrendered me, you know, because I just don't know if I had the power to do it. But something happened finally. I never gave up. Because I had people early on and today and listening on these meetings that told me it would get better. Don't stop fighting. Keep coming back. Like, it's like, okay, I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to keep coming back until one day it clicked. You know, something happened from my head to my heart, and I am here. And I am here to tell you that my relationship with my son is different. And I sit in bed with him now instead of yelling at him, trying to get him to bed. I cherish the time I have with him, and that is not me. I am angry and not nice at night, and all of a sudden now I get to be with my beautiful boy, and it's all because of this program, because of God, and because of the steps, and for that I am so grateful. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Perfect, Laura R. All right, Donna B., followed by Stacy B. Donna B. Donna, good morning.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Denver. This chapter reminds me of a part of my life. And I share this, and I hope that it's not insulting to anybody. But there was a period in my life where I was very invested in the power of creative visualization. And my understanding and my practice of that was that I, through my own thinking, could manifest what I wanted in my life. So all I had to do was come up with a vision of what I wanted, and then cut out pictures and put it on a vision board, or meditate on the vision of me being thin and being happy and being outgoing, and and I spent so much time really dedicated to the idea that if I could just picture what I wanted my future to look like, I could somehow manifest that into existence. And when I think back on that, I have a lot of feelings about who I was and what I was thinking at that time, and it saddens me so deeply. That process did not work for me at all. It was completely a process of self-reliance in the way that I was practicing it. Today, my life is different. I admit on a daily basis that I'm powerless over food and I'm powerless over my thinking, and that my life is completely unmanageable to me by me. And I have come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And in my prayer and meditation practice in the morning, I dedicate so much time and so much energy and yearning and longing on that step too. I beg God to reveal himself to me, to show himself to me, to change my thinking so profoundly and so deeply that I can actually see God, that I can have a relationship with God, that I can trust God. I beg God to relieve me of my prejudices. Like so many of us, I project the qualities of my parents onto my higher power.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Stacy B., followed by Dion R. Good morning, Stacy. Press star 1 to unmute. Can't hear you, Stacy.
Sorry about that, Mo. Okay, great. I was very blessed to have an excellent sponsor when I was going through a very agnostic time in my life. My sponsor told me when I was reading this chapter where it says we put I in it, and instead of ourselves, put myself in it. So I kind of was able to take up, a pencil and kind of go over the words, and then it really hit me and came true for me. I was able to grasp it, and it sometimes I not so much anymore because I've been working my program, but I have agnostic tendencies at times in my life when things aren't going well. So I always open up to this chapter and I see, the work that I did, and I read it and it just comes alive to me and reminds me that I'm not relying on God enough when I'm starting to think that way. So I go back and I read it, and then I and I'm reading the truth here from this book, and it just makes me realize, okay, I'm off track. I'm getting back on track now and giving it to God, because sometimes things are overwhelming or there's not an answer for a certain situation that has risen in my life, and this is the answer to it. And whether it be with the food or mainly with relationships and things happening, I go directly to this, and it just seems to put me in, you know, the right path and the right frame of mind to connect with my Creator and to give me peace and give me wisdom to know what to do next or what not to do next. And I just get right back on track. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey B. And before I take on Dion R., I would like to remind everybody where we are. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 44, the fourth paragraph down, if a mere code of morals, and we're comments on that one paragraph only. And after Dion, I'll take some more names. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning. Good morning. How Mo? How are you doing? This is Deanne R. Everyone, grateful to be of service, and we agnostic. Oh my goodness! Just to be reminded that a mere code of ethics, like being a good church person, excuse me, didn't work for me years ago. I was going through the motion, and in life, I was going through the motion. First time I came to 12-step programs, I was going through the motions. And just I just had some codes and morals, but I really didn't believe. As a matter of fact, someone was saying the other day how I have such love for God, and I was like, that came from that transformation, you know, my mindset. They didn't, you know, they're not in a 12-step program, but just the fact that now I know, you know, my higher power exists, and because I've asked for proof, he showed me proof over and over just by allowing me to keep the food down for the time left I have, and it's not, it doesn't call my name, and I'm happy doing it, you know, and I go through life happily, but all the times I think about growing up as a kid and a teenager and young adult, all those years of going through the, the rituals, you know, of going to church and reading and studying and da-da-da-da and hating every bit of it. Today, I'm grateful. And I look back now just thinking that day, oh, that was how we was made to memorize this chapter, this first half and that half of the Bible, yucky, yucky. Couldn't wait till I became 18 so I could regurgitate it all up and did you, like, get rid of it? And but the miracle is in my life and journey. Those words came back and helped me many times, and it's in this program too, to save my life many times. But I didn't like God because I didn't understand Him. Today I do understand Him, thanks to you guys. And the miracle is, it's not just a format. It's just not like I'm just going to do this because I'm told to do it. I do because I want to. I go to church, or if not go to church, but I'm still trying to do service every day, and just letting people know that if you want to stop eating, this is how I did it. You know, that's all I can do is shine a light and not be the light, but I can direct you how I found the light. And no matter how far a person's been on the ground, especially someone like me, I think I was giving grace through the 12-step program because I really didn't know and understand what a spiritual relationship with a higher power is. Thanks to you all in this program, I'm eternally grateful. And with that, I'll pass, guys. Thanks for allowing me to be of service today.
Thank you, Dion R. We'll now open the lines up for those who'd like to share. Second round.
John K.
John K.
Grace D.
Pam W.
Grace. I got Grace. Was that a Grace?
Yes, it was.
What's your last initial, Grace?
Lisa D. D as in David.
D, Lisa D. Was it Lisa D or Lisa
Lisa D, as in dog.
Okay, got it. All right, who was that?
Pam R. Donna W.
M. I got Pam M.
Leia D.
Donna W.
Leia D. I got Leia D. And one more. Donna W. Donna W. All right. Sorry, some of those I missed. Maybe we might fit you in. All right. John K., Grace D., Lisa D., Pam M., Leah D., and Donna W. All right, John. Good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for your service. It's John Kieran, recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. You know, I've been around for a long time, and some of the people and friends, I consider them, in program that I know are like examples are Father Frank. I know Rabbi Sherry. I know Michael, who's an Episcopal minister. I know some Catholic nuns. I know Ron, who's a Jewish cantor, and so on. And stop and think about that for a minute. These are all people who've made faith their vocation. You know, they have a belief in a higher power, and they have a conscious contact with a higher power. And they had both that belief and that higher power before they came to program. So if a belief in the higher power alone, you know, a conscious contact with a higher power alone could have solved their problems, they wouldn't have needed to come to this program. But I've got this belief. I really believe that the 12 steps were God's gift to the 20th century. You know, I've said it. I think it's the rowboat that was gifted to alcoholics and addicts that helped them find recovery. And I believe at the core of my soul that this program was gifted and designed by a power greater than myself and you and me and Bill. I think Bill might have been holding the pen, but I really do think there was some divine guidance there. But I tell sponsees, you know, that if you don't believe in a higher power as such, don't let it stop you. Don't let it make you turn away. It's not that important now. All you really have to believe in is the rowboat we've been given, the program, and the steps. And if you don't have a lot of faith, that's okay too. You don't need faith in terms of program. All you have to do is look around and hear on these meetings. You know, you hear, you know, Harlan, who's lost 400 pounds. You heard Craig, who's lost 300 pounds. Lots of people with over 100 pounds. That this works, and you need it. And so we all need to get into that rowboat and row, you know, row to the shore of recovery. You, me, Father Frank, Rabbi Sherry, all of us. I think what I was given from my higher power was the belief that I have a partner in recovery, you know. And the key word there for me is partner. I don't think my partner is a servant, you know, a servant that will deliver abstinence to me. I believe my higher power wants me to do the footwork. I mean, this little voice that's in me, it's never telling me stuff that I'm real happy to have to jump to, but I go, I know, I got to do that, you know, but it's what I know works. And I believe if I do that stuff, I will be given, you know, the guidance. I'll be given the strength to deal with the problems and deal with it, and the serenity, you know, to accept everything life has to offer. The thing I love about the 12 steps that was different from the faith I was given as a kid was it's very grounded out in reality. It's not just sitting there saying something woo-woo. And one of the things I see sometimes is I think people think that abstinence is a gift that will just be given to them by that higher power that's the servant and not the partner. That's not, they just keep waiting, and I'll wrap up. They just keep waiting for that abstinence fairy to hit them instead of realizing, look, my higher power is a partner, but it's not a servant, and I have to be willing to do the footwork, and that strength will be given to me by my partner. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John K. Grace D., followed by Lisa D. Grace, good morning. Press star 1 to unmute. Grace, can't hear you. Still can't hear you, Grace. One more time, star 1. We might go on and come back to you. Okay, let's try Lisa D. Are you available, Lisa?
Good morning, everybody. Mo, thank you.
Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me? This is
Yes.
Lisa D.
Oh, this is Lisa. Okay.
This is Lisa.
I'll come back and get Grace. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for your service. Thank you, Mo. I'm sitting here, and some of the things that people have said have definitely resonated with me. Someone in the beginning shared about how this program has helped them to work on their, on, she said, on her inner emptiness. And that really resonates with me, because a lot of times I want to or do pick up the food because of the inner emptiness, that it's not, there's no excitement or not an emotion inside of my body. There's just the emptiness. And God in the program has helped me a lot with not eating out of fatigue. That was a huge one for me. At night, I do take some medication that makes me tired, more tired quickly and earlier. So not eating at night has been a big one for me that this program and God helped me with. So I also was touched. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I don't feel like I have power over food. I feel totally powerless over food. And I feel like it's even hard for me to put into practice the tools. Like, I brought my husband, I think I could say, just a small coconut water, and it's in the refrigerator. And I'm like, okay, you know, it doesn't have any sugar in it. I can have this, had it. You know, it's like I'm not thinking, okay, I want this, and it's not on my plan, and I need to put a tool in place before the first bite. And I didn't do that another time in the past week, and it led to a binge. So I relate to the woman who talks about how she had a very good relationship with her higher power, but she was missing something, and I also feel like I'm missing something. I'm missing something, and I don't know what it is. After I meet these deadlines for work, which is going to be this weekend, I'm going to have hopefully more time to kind of explore with my higher power what I am lacking. So in this program, because I am lacking it. But it's day by day, you know, abstinence day by day. Alrighty, well, thank you for listening, and thank you for being the supportive community that you are. And with this, I pass.
And thank you, Lisa D. So is Grace on the line?
This is Gracie. Can you hear me?
I can. Is it Gracie?
Yes. Yeah. Gracie D.
D. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for trying again. Let's see. When I read this paragraph, it reminds me that, like any atheist or agnostic, my spiritual search or morality or ethics did not affect my disease at all. Neither did my understanding of the disease when I learned from OA about that. Nothing helped, and my struggle still had no power behind it. That power did not come until I surrendered myself in willingness, honesty, and openness to God. And I'm grateful that I can deeply relate to my still agnostic friend. For me, it was a big step to believe in a higher power that cares about me. And I think it is for many who've grown up with this disease. Well, by grace, I took that step. I do believe in a higher power who loves me and cares about the disease in my life. And I do that again every day, and I yield to that powerful, loving God. And I pray for those who are still looking with frustration at step two, because it's a big step to believe in a God who cares about every bit of your life and who wants to walk with you in this commitment, in this daily commitment. But once you do it, of course, I've found it's the most fantastic way to live. But it's a big step to get there for some people. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Gracie G. Pam M., followed by Leah D. Pam.
Well, blessed morning, everyone. It's Pam M., recovering upstate New York. So this chapter of Gnostics is very important, has been very important for my recovery. And when I was first being introduced to the doctor's opinion, I told the woman it wasn't going to work for me because they were using the word God. And it wasn't a word that I used. I had a lot of deep wounds from the church that I grew up in. And she said to me, well, you know, there's this chapter later on called We Agnostics. And don't give up yet. I'd like you to just hold on till we get there. And it made a big difference for me. It got me enough to listen. So, you know, for people that are working with new sponsees, that could be a cue for you to help them. And, you know, I had a problem with that word God, but I'm considered a spiritual teacher in my community, you know, and I had the moral and the philosophical codes, but I had no God reliance. I was still telling God what to do, like the woman that was sharing with her vision board. You know, I didn't, and I also didn't feel important or loved enough for God to keep me away from binging, for God to keep me away from the foods. So the psychology of it for me was that I needed something to let go into if I was ever going to stop controlling everybody and everything but with food. I needed a higher power, and I needed something bigger than me that was going to keep me away from the refrigerator. So, you know, you need not be disconcerted if you're new to the program. You get to define it. You get to define what this higher power is, and you can call it him or her or it or they. Or for me, I found that I don't even have to define it at all. My job is to just feel it and connect with it. So just be open and curious and keep reading this chapter. It will be revealed to you. And so with that, I pass. Namaste. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pam M. Leah D. followed by Donna D. Leah D. followed by Donna W. Good morning, Leah.
Hi, good morning. Hi, good morning. How are you? My name is Leah D. recovered in Brooklyn. And, you know, I'm in the rooms 100 years, and I came in and I was struck abstinent because of the first time I ever heard I was powerless instead of hearing you're a failure. And you can do this, you can do this, and I don't understand why I couldn't do it. So supported dieting worked for years, and then I was in and out like a revolving door. And the truth is that since December 6, 2015 till today, I'm in recovery. What's different? What happened and what's different? And the chapter here in We Agnostics, first of all, I never read that chapter. I never read half the chapters. I took the easier, softer way. All I need to do is learn to weigh and measure and I'll recover. That's a lie. So what's different here and what happens to the newcomer and how am I recovered today and why is it different today? And my intellect can't help me. My intellect can't help me. My intelligence can't help me. Fluffy emotional appeal can't help me. Even saying I believe in God can't help me. That's not what helps me. I think what really helped me is step two says, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And one of the greatest things I learned 46 years ago coming in here is that the power greater than myself could be the lamp. It doesn't matter what that power is. As long as I say, please help me not to go into the refrigerator at 2:00 in the morning, that's what counts. And anyone who's new here, who's listening to this and saying, what are they talking about? I just can't get through a day. How do I do this? I believe that God speaks through people, and it's the people that's the power greater than me that helped me to do this. That those are my partners in life. Those are the partners that I have to rely on first. It's small steps. You know, one day of recovery leads to 2 days of recovery, leads to 3 days of recovery. Sure, I have to find out what my trigger foods are and what my alcoholic behaviors are and all these other things that newcomers or relapsers have to look at slowly with people. And then easily, you know, it doesn't say I'm powerless over food, and it doesn't say God restores me to sanity. Most people would think that's hocus pocus, a power greater than myself. If I get a sponsor and she's supportive and I can call her when I'm hungry and I can call when I feel emotional, no one understands what that means in the beginning, build up of human emotions. This is a lifetime deal. But the fact of being able to get through meal to meal to meal to meal, I think that's where the real recovery is. And understanding doctor's opinion and mental twist and all of it. I don't have a good understanding of God today in the real sense that people are doing this 20 years. I'm a newbie here. I do it every day, one day at a time. Why am I recovered? Only one God knows, and I'm just grateful for it. I don't have to question it. I don't have to answer it. I just have to reach out to others and say, hey, how are you doing that? Tell me what you do every day. What should I try to do? Can I call you if I'm hungry? Can I call you if I'm in pain? I don't want to pick up extra food. I don't want to do that. Can you teach me? And I think that as teachers, this
Fine.
Is where the recovery comes from. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I hope someone got a little sprinkle of that. Have a great day.
Thank you, Leah D. And I'll just let everybody know where we are, because we'll have time maybe for one more after Donna. Page 44, the fourth paragraph of A Mere Code of Morals. So, Donna W., you're on.
Good morning, Mo. Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. Grateful for my abstinence and my recovery today. And, you know, this chapter, We Agnostics, I'm like, I'm not an agnostic. I believe in God. I've always believed in God. But despite that, I go agnostic all day long because I was raised to be a strong, independent woman. And my, you know, first reaction to things is I got to buckle down, figure it out, white knuckle, do it myself. So even though I believe in God, the whole reliance on God, that is an ongoing challenge and opportunity for me. And even for years, I was working my program that I have to recover myself. I have to put the food down. I have to stop doing this. I have to change my, get rid of my character defects. And, you know, last year when we read To the Wives for the first time, and it says at the very end of that chapter, either God removes your husband's drinking problem or he doesn't. And it's like, oh, God removes my eating problem. So I'm really trying to connect with my higher power. I'm trying to get on God's beam. I'm doing my best to, like, you know, God, check in with God. How can I be of service? So I'm getting that now. At times of stress, I go into the figuring it out. You know, I just wish I could just stay in my head and figure it all out and everything would be fine. That would be perfect. But instead, I get to feel my feelings. I get to be humble, have humility, ask for help, and, you know, try to rely on a power greater than myself. So really, you know, when food is calling, I need to remember I am powerless. It's not a, it's not about self-will. If I could do it, I would. If I could figure it all out, I would, because I'm a smart woman, you know? So anyway, really grateful to keep learning and growing every day with you. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Donna B. And we have time for one more share.
Sherry KB?
2 minutes. Okay, Sherry, you're on. You got in.
2 minutes or one? Or Mo?
Two.
2 minutes. Okay. 2 minutes. Okay, this is Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers, and thank you, Team Thursday. I'm just going to say what strikes me a lot is that my human resource, as marshaled by my will, was not sufficient. It failed utterly every time I tried to do it, because what I was trying to do is I had a permanent solution. Excuse me, I had a temporary solution to a permanent problem. That's what I was doing. I didn't realize I had a permanent problem, and I was trying to do it with temporary solutions. And the only solution that I have is a power greater than myself that can help me through this. I have to set aside my ego and my pride. I have to set aside that self-will, which is the voice of my disease. I have to set aside the knowledge that I think I know, because it's interesting to know in this chapter that we're in, We Agnostics, which means without knowledge. Because without knowing that I could not do this alone, that I have a disease that only a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, I have to set aside my knowledge and be open to new knowledge through my higher power, through this book, through the people that I've worked with, through people I take through. That's the difference today, in that I can muster up all the will I want and all the courage and all that, which I can do in a lot of other areas of my life, just never could do it with this one. And so only my higher power can help me with this. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sherry KB. Perfect timing. And I want to thank all those who shared this morning and all those who gave service. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Karen R. please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Karen, compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.